Story day, so we're Rabbi Ari Tumin.
Good morning, Chodesh. Thank you very much for another opportunity to share some Divrei Torah with Rabbim. Opportunity is always appreciated. The topic I want to talk about today, a topic which is Negea from the times of Chumash to the times of Chazal to today, contemporary in all societies. The topic of taking an Orav, a guarantor on a loan. Starts off with Chumash, the Gemara learns it out. There's such a concept from Yehuda. Yehuda took Aravus, the Onichi Erevenu. And it's something which the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuftes seems to have some reservation about whether it's appropriate at all for someone to enter the agreement of Aravus. The Gemara brings the Pasuk of Mishlei. The Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuftes brings the Gemara Ro, Yeroya, Orizo. Ro acharo tovoi. The Gemara says three things. There's a ro acharo, terrible, bad, evil, comes to those mekabli gerim, or orve shel tzion, and hatokei atmin dvar halacha. Hatokei atmin dvar halacha. The Gemara says it's talking about different shotim, but one of them is v'limadtem v'asisem misha imer, ainly. Elo Teira, someone who says, all I'm interested in is learning, not interested in Limatim Amalas Laso. He says, Afilu Teira Einlo, he's missed the point. Ro Acharo, he's missed, there's a fundamental misunderstanding. Mikabli Gerim, the Gemara Rishayim explained the problem in Mikabli Gerim, the circumstances, if they're not proper Gerim, it's a lack of foresight of the problems that it can cause. And La Orve Shaltiyah, what's Orve Shaltiyah? An Orv Shluftutz. Orv Shluftutz is type of an Orv guarantor where he takes primary responsibility. He assumes primary responsibility for the loan. The Malva lends money to somebody, and the Orv says, I'm an Orv Shaltiyah, an Orv Shluftutz. That means the Malva can only claim, can only seek compensation, repayment for his loan from the Orv. He can't approach the Loiva and ask for his money back. That's an Orav Shel Tzion, and the Gemara says on that, Ro Acharo. Now even though the Gemara only mentions that type of Orav, the Rambam in Hilchos says, when he talks about the Derech of a Talmid Chacham, Derech of Talmid Chacham, Masoyu Matoni Be'emuno. And he lists out the Hanhogas of Talmid Chacham, and Eilei Naseh, Loi Orav V'loi Kablum. It doesn't become any type of Orav at all. Now, the Gemara we just quoted, the Gemara on Kuftes on the base, the Gemara on Kuftes on the Aleph, has the mashmos that not only is it not an eitzah teiva, it's a bad idea to become an orav, but it's actually an isser involved. Because the Gemara there has to come to Yevamos, the whole sugya. The Gemara in Yevamos is talking about a case of you have a problem to do yibum because there's two sisters involved, and one of them can do mion, so we tell her to do mion, we tell her to cancel her marriage, the marriage of a ketano, and the Gemara starts off. Umi shari, is it mutter to teach a ketana to be my mind to do miun? But Tony back up for a loyal misrachek, all the mishrach and dvorim, a person should be misrachek from three dvorim in a munim, our voinis upik doinis. So the Gemara starts from saying, is it mutter? But Kapora said, you have to be mirachik from miun, our voinis upik doinis, and the Gemara answers, le mitzah shani. And the mashon that Gemara says, that the Gemara says you should be merachik. It means aroiv hapa'omim. There's a mitzvah, gemilas chasodim, to become an orav. It's a mitzvah. It's gemilas chesed to become an orav. But leroiv hapa'omim, you should be merachik. The Mashal doesn't explain when yes, when is it a mitzvah. Rabbeinu Yoina on Mishlei says, what's ro acharo? This lashon of the Gemara, ro acharo, if you're an orav. Orav shel tzion, what's ro acharo? Because he says sometimes the malve lends somebody money, he wants to get his money back from the loiva, and the loiva doesn't have money to pay back. He assumed the orav would be okay. He gets frustrated with the loiva. He tries to claim from the orav. The orav didn't really intend to put himself into that situation. The orav doesn't want to pay, has to take it to the Torah, ends up fighting with the loiva. The borrower ends up fighting, the orav ends up fighting. They say a story, I read a story with Chazan Ish. The Chazan Ish used to sign aravos for people. Even relatively large sums he used to sign willingly and freely, used to sign Arabs for people. And then one day he stopped, cold turkey, no more Arabs at all, doesn't sign Arabs at all. So I asked him, what's going on? May Koro Michael Sova, will have saved Michael Sova. So the Chazanish said that I sign Arabs for people and I keep a cheshbon. And it's reached the stage where I know that I've been mechayev myself as an aruf the full amount of all the possessions that I have. I have nothing more of value that if the debts that I signed, the arufs that I signed, triggered me to pay, I have nothing left to pay. I can't sign arufs anymore. That means the Chazan Ish understood that when he's signing arufs, he's undertaking a full commitment and he's prepared to go with it to the end. And if it means giving up every penny that he owns, he understands the responsibility and he's taking that responsibility on and he's willing to do so and he knows the limit, and the limit is everything he has and that's it. So the Pshat in the Gemara is Ro Acharo, it's a lack of foresight. And this is something that very often that we see. Very often, Pshat has come and people haven't understood the responsibility that they've entered into. And similarly, the mother hasn't understood the risk that he's still exposed to by taking more of. He thinks he's secure and he's not secure. And it ends up creating a mess for some of people. So that's a sort of explanation in the Gemara. The Gemara says, it's bad. On the other hand, it's a tremendous minat chasadim. So there's a tremendous tension here between being an Arab, not being an Arab. The truth is, Chazal themselves at the same time as giving us a warning in no uncertain terms about being an Arab. On the other hand, Chazal are also concerned. Shaloitin al Dersday, I love him. Chazal put in tremendous protections for Malve in order that people should be able to have access to funds when they need them. They should be able to have the stream of credit because it's critical for people to be able to do that. And Chazal understood that as well. So there's a tremendous tension. On the one hand, it's a tremendous mitzvah. On the other hand, Chazal tell us, be wary. So if a person understands the full risk and a person understands the commitment, that's a different story. So people come to me sometimes, not common, but sometimes ask me, should they be an Arav or not? You know, Chazal say, should, it's a mitzvah, it doesn't know. You're able to you facilitate something or borrow money. So I tell them that, I tell you what I do personally. When someone asks me to be an Arav, I say, I'd rather lend you the money and ask the person who lends you the money, he should be the Arav. Normally the person lending the money is, he's got plenty of funds, that's why he's lending money. Yeah. Either I'm able to take on that loan, am I able to give that loan, I have those funds, and if the funds that you're asking, requesting are beyond my means, so what am I doing signing arufs for? If you're looking to borrow £100,000 from somebody, and I can't lend you that £100,000, so what am I signing arufs for on that thing? So if I'm prepared to undertake it, if not, there can be an answer to the question. It could be a person who doesn't have liquid funds at the moment and he's able to sign arufs, he's able to understand responsibility, but it's important that when someone signs arufs, they understand A, the responsibility, and B, the malva understands that it has to be done in the proper way, otherwise, again, he's going to enter a problem. And I'll tell you three shilas that I've come across in one form or another, and they don't have time to discuss them all in detail. They don't all have such happy endings, but they bring out the point. So the first shaila, I saw it brought down in Rabbi Osher Weiss. Shaila Tshuvas Michus Osher, Chelik Beis, Simen Kuftes. He brings down a story. Somebody lent somebody money, and he took an Aruf, and it came the time to pay back, and the Leiva didn't pay back on time. And the mother let things go, didn't chase the debt. And after a while, after a year and a half, he realizes he needs the money, he goes to the loiva, he goes to the person who borrowed, and obviously the borrower in the meantime has gone bankrupt, he lost all his money, so he turns to the Arab, and the Arab says to him, listen, I signed Arabos, I agree, I took responsibility for it, but the reason why I signed Arabos, you told me the loan is going to be for 6 months. I knew at the end of 6 months the fellow's getting a mortgage, and at the end of 6 months he's going to have his mortgage, he's going to have funds, he's going to be able to repay. And had he gone to him after 6 months when the loan was due, he Taka got his mortgage, and he Taka would have been able to pay you. And you, through your own dilly-dallying, messed around, and you didn't claim for him for a year and a half, and now all that money's gone down the drain. And now he's got no money, and now you're coming to me to ask me to pay. That's not fair. I never undertook that. The whole reason why I undertook it is because I knew that in the 6 months, he has the ability to repay. So the Torah, in Chayesh Mishpot, Simen Kuf Lamed Aleph, brings a Ramban. And the Ramban says, the Orav turned around to the Malveh, and he says, at the end of the term of the loan, and he says to the Malveh, Adoni, the loan term is up. It's time to claim the money. And I'm telling you now, go get the money from the labor now. He has the money. And if you don't get the money now from the labor, I am now terminating my responsibility as an oruf. I'm telling you now, I'm giving you hasra. Go to the labor and get the money now. And if you don't, I am absolved of my responsibility. Says the Ramban, doesn't make a difference what the Oruf says. The Oruf undertook responsibility, you're responsible, and you can't say unilaterally, I'm terminating my responsibility. You undertook the responsibility, you remain responsible. Says the Bedek Habayis. Says the Bedek Habayis on the Ramban. We're talking about a Ramban, the Ramban that says that the Oruf tells the Malveh, claim the money now from the Loiva, because if you don't claim from the Loiva now, I'm absolved. Says Ramban, no, you can't absolve yourself of responsibility. Says the Bedek Habayis, I don't understand. This fellow is an Oruf. Did he undertake to be chayav forever? He undertook what he undertook. He undertook this period of the loan. And the loan terminates. So that's when his responsibility terminates. That's what the responsibility he undertook. So if the Oruf undertook to guarantee the loan, and the loan was 6 months, so it comes to 6 months, and he tells you, claim from the loiva, you don't claim from the loiva, so that's the better bias. No. La guspanke daramban chosmole. It doesn't have the signet of the Ramban stamped on these words. He questions whether, in fact, the Ramban said this line. Shulchan Aruch, Siman Kuf Lamed Alef Sif Dalet, brings down the words of the Ramban. That means the Shulchan Aruch written by Rabbi Yosef Karu, the Beis Yosef, who wrote his Pirush on the Torah, who wrote the Bedek HaBayis on the Torah as well, who criticized whether the Ramban, questioned whether the Ramban wrote those words. But in Shulchan Aruch, when he writes Shulchan Aruch, he brings down the words of the Ramban, and he says, an Aruf tells the Malveh, claim now or I am absolved. The Aruf remains Chayav, but he concludes, V'yesh l'hisyashev bedovah. It's appropriate to give the matter thought and care. Because he's not convinced, as he writes Beis Yosef, that this should be the halacha. Adds the Ramah, ki yesh chilkin bedavo. Because this matter that the Beis Yosef says, the Oruf can't absolve himself of responsibility by saying, claim now, chil yesh chilkin bedavo. And the Achronim say that it would appear from the words of the Ramah that he leans towards accepting the opinion of those who argue. That the Ramah's opinion is that the Oruf is absolved. Now, we said the Ramban holds that if the Oruf tells the mother, claim now, doesn't help him. He will still remain chayiv. If the mother waits and doesn't claim, he's still chayiv. The Cholkim argue. They argue. They say, no, the Oruf is absolved. But it's not clear how far do these Cholkim go. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is the Shulchan Aruch and the Torah, they're talking about a case where the Oruf, the guarantor, expressly approaches the Malveh and he gives him a warning. And he says to the Malveh, claim now. He's got the money. And if you don't claim now, I'm out. I want out now. Go to the Loiva and get the money. Says the Ramban, it doesn't help. Says the Chalkim, no, it does help. What does that mean it helps? Does that mean because he warned him and he told him, go get the money. Go now, and if not, I'm out. Therefore, he can terminate. He's not chayv forever, he's chayv for the loan. But what happens if he never approached the Malveh? He never approached the Malveh. Terminates the loan, the Malveh lets things wait, and now the loan loses his money, and now, a year and a half later, the Malveh comes to the Oruf, and the Oruf says, well, you should have claimed from him in time. So he never actually told him at the time, go get the money when the loan terminates, if not, I'm out. So we don't have something mafurush that the Cholkin goes so far to argue in that case. But the Pischei Tshuva on that Sefer Shulchan Aruch, he brings a Tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi. And the Chacham Tzvi there says that even if he doesn't warn him, even if he says nothing, and the loan terminates, and he waits and waits and waits and waits, you can't then come and later approach the Oruf. the Chacham Tzvi is not the only opinion that Pesach Yeshua brings down. He brings down the Knesset HaGedolah, disagrees with Chacham Tzvi, and says, no, the whole patur of the Orav is when the Orav approached the Malveh. And if he didn't approach him, the Orav remains Chayiv. And the Pesach Yeshua concludes that the opinion, you have a Sveikah here to be Mechayiv the Orav of this case. Why? Because first of all, you have, on one hand, the Ramban. The Ramban says, even if you warn him and you tell him Beferush, the Orav still remains Chayiv. Okay, so we have those who argue on the Ramban. But even those who argue on the Ramban, that could only be if you gave him the Hasra. But if you didn't give him the Hasra, even those who argue on the Ramban will still agree that you remain Chayiv.
Sorry, just to clarify, he made a
Tanai Shasta
of War that only for 6 months, but that's not the case.
The loan term was for 6 months. The loan itself was for 6 months.
So that's it.
That is, the loan was for 6 months. That means at the end of 6 months, you have to pay. It doesn't say after 6 months, you're potter.
You still have to pay.
Yeah, you still have to pay. After 6 months, the loan doesn't pay after 6 months, you have to pay forever.
Shasta
is an Orav. Now, says the Chacham Tzvi, there are two different types of Orav. There's an Orav Kablan and an Orav Stam. What's an Orav Stam and what's an Orav Kablan? An Orav Stam is someone who says, I'm an Orav, lend him money and I'll be a guarantor. The primary obligation is to go to the Loiva. The Loiva, at the end of the term, has to pay. The Loiva doesn't have funds. You have to make sure he doesn't have funds. Only once it's been established with certainty that he doesn't have funds, then you can go to the Orav. At kedei kach, that technically, the Orav can say, the Loiva has to make a shua that he doesn't have any funds. Meaning what? I want a shua from the Loiva that he's got no funds. Until he's made that shua, don't come to me. Which obviously is going to create a problem. Nowadays, what they didn't, don't do shuas. So the son is an Orav Stam. How are you going to claim from the Orav? Which is another problem people don't realize. People ask for an Orav. He says, okay, I don't mind being an Orav. But what's that going to help you? It's only going to help you if you've chased the Loiva first, you've established he's got no funds, and then you can go to Orav. If he's made the Shua Sheinu. So some people say that nowadays, since we don't do the Shuas, you can't get a Shua out of him, it's as if it's impossible to retrieve the funds, so you can go after the Orav nowadays without the Shua. But you still certainly have to establish that he's got no funds, and how does one do that? So sometimes everyone agrees, it's known the guy's not bankrupt, he's going to do it, he's lost everything, he's lost all his money. But technically, if he possibly has assets anywhere, yeah, then the Orav won't have to pay. So someone who takes Arabos, there's another example that you have here. Then a Malveh has asked for an Orav, he's asked for security, he's done a favor for somebody, but in actual fact, he's left himself very exposed. The risk is much higher than he, in fact, understands. And that's the ro acharo, which the Rabbeinu Yonah says, the Malveh is going to get frustrated, going to get in a position where he's seeking to claim and he can't claim. The Orav has to claim. Fine. That's an Orav Stam. An Orav Kablan is when the person undertakes to become an Orav Kablan. An Orav Kablan, if he's done properly, an Orav Kablan is, he can seek equally, almost equally, against the Loiva and from the Orav. Eize mehem sheroitza, yipora mehem techilo. He can claim from the Loiva, he can go from the Orav. The Orav can't say, have you gone to the Loiva first? No, he's got no right to say to the mother, first go to the Loiva. If the Loiva doesn't pay, I'll pay you. If he says, I'm an Orav Kablan, you've undertaken almost equal responsibility.
Why would anyone do an Orav Stam?
Why would people do an Orav Stam? Because it depends on how much security the Orav wants to give you. The Orav may not want to undertake that responsibility. The Orav may say, listen, if he can't pay, he doesn't pay, he doesn't have money, then I'll pay you back. But as long as he can pay, why should I pay? So an Orav Kablan is almost equal. So we have three types of Aravim. The Gemara's Orav Shaltzion, where the main responsibility, the primary responsibility is on the Orav. On the other extreme, you have an Orav Stam, where the primary responsibility is on the Loiva, and you have an Orav Kablan, where they're almost virtually equal, you go to either. So says the Chacham Tzvi, coming back to our case now, the case was the Malveh doesn't claim from the Loiva on time, and the Orav says to claim from him now, and according to Orav, according to Chacham Tzvi, he doesn't say to claim to now, but if the time is up, the Orav's time, his responsibility is up. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Lain Ramban, the Orav is still responsible. Says the Ramah, Yesh Cholkim, now we go with the Cholkim, that the Orav isn't responsible. Says the Chacham Tzvi, this whole discussion is only talking about an Orav Stam. An Orav Stam, he isn't primarily responsible. The Loiva is responsible. And if the Loiva doesn't perform, he doesn't do his responsibility, the Orav will come as a standby and kick in. So that standby to kick in is only triggered if you fulfill the conditions. If you went to Loiva on time, and you did what you were responsible to do, and he didn't have money, then I will come to you. But if you waited and messed around for a year and a half and came to me, that's an Orav, I'm not an Orav for that, no, it's fine. But, says the Chacham Tzvi, an Orav Kaplan, he's treated as if he's the Loiva himself. It's as if you borrowed the money. Now, obviously, someone borrows money, and he doesn't pay back in time. And a year and a half later, he comes to him and says, you owe me money still. 10 years later, he comes to him and says, you haven't paid me. It doesn't make a difference how long. You borrowed the money, you owe the money. Ah, why didn't you claim from me then? I agree 6 months. Yeah, I didn't claim from you then. Very good. You're a lucky boy. Yeah? But now, you owe the money. So an Orav Kablun, you treat you as if you borrowed the money. So if you're an Orav Kablun, as if you borrowed the money, so it doesn't matter that he didn't go to the Loiva on time. I'm coming to you as Orav Kablun. Then says the Chacham Tzvi, this halacha doesn't apply. It doesn't matter how long you were, how long you waited for. Okay. So this Shaila, Miklas Hasha, he was an Orav Kablan. The fellow wrote on the Orav Kablan. The only problem is, even though it sounds straightforward, then Orav Kablan, the Chacham Tzvi, says you can get from the Orav at any time. Obviously, like everything in learning, it's a machlokes. The Shoyim Meishiv, Rabbi Yosef Shaul Nasazon, disagrees. And he says, if the Sfora is, did the Orav undertake to be Chai forever? So that applies to Orav Stam, Orav Kablan.
He's a Loiva.
As if he's a Loiva, yeah. So that's, the machlokes is, the machlokes, Shoyim Meishiv Chacham Tzvi is, in the analysis of an Orav Kablan. Orav Kablan is treated as a Loiva, right? An Orav Kablan is treated, you could go to him first. But is he really a Loiva? Did he really borrow the money? Or is that generated by his own Hischaivus? He's generated his Hischaivus, the nature of his obligation, which he has self-generated, is you can treat me as a Loiva, but it's a false Loiva, it's a virtual Loiva, he's not really the Loiva. So how far does that go? Says the Chacham Tzvi, when you've generated that here, but you're not really the Loiva, so that itself has limitations. That has no limitations. The Shreya Lemeisha says, well, you've generated it yourself, so that has limitations. The Chacham Tzvi says, once you've generated an obligation to treat you as a Loiva, you're the Loiva. It goes on forever. So that's...
To Yoshim as well.
Well, the Yoshim will be his estate. The Karka, like any other Yoshim, like any other debt. So... That's one technicality. The other technicality is much more relevant. And that is, how does one become an Orav Kablan? If you want to undertake this Orav Kablan, yeah, how do you take it? There's a very specific wording, phrasing, that's required to get and activate the full force of being an Orav Kablan. The Shulchan says you have to say, Ten loy vani eten loch. Give him the money, and I will give you the money. Not lend him the money and I will repay you. That's not an arvus. You give him the money and I will give you the money back. That indicates you've taken a primary responsibility on yourself. Any other loshin, you're entering into machlokesin. Yes, machlokesin, not machlokesin. The Ramah says, you're right, and the Orav Kablan is also good, but they explain that's only because we understand it to mean I undertook to be an Orav Kablan. Yeah, so it's Lashon Ova. Ani Orav Kablan means I was an Orav Kablan. We assume that you did it the way it was supposed to do. You used the right wording, the right technicality. But if we know that you didn't use the right wording, and you just signed a piece of paper, Ani Orav Kablan, it's a printed piece of paper, the Gemach has a piece of paper, and it says Ani Orav Kablan, and we know there's no other undertaking, and that's the full undertaking, then it's a problem. Ani Orav Kablan. Lamaisa, what I read in the contemporary Sforim, they bring down a sort of a bishara. That the minhag is, if someone signs any Orav Kablan, so you have to chase the loiva. You have to chase him two or three times. You have to attempt to retain from the loiva first, as if he was an Orav Stam. But you don't have to exhaust all the possibilities. You don't have to go down every single rabbit hole to establish. You don't have to make the shul. You don't have to go to every rabbit hole to establish that he's got no money left before you can claim from the Aruf. You seek to make a claim against him. And the claim is being frustrated, then you can go to the Aruf. So it's sort of a shura between the Aruf Kabbalah and the Aruf Stam. You can't go to the Aruf on the first basis and say to him, you've got a primary obligation to sign any Aruf Kabbalah. And the Aruf Kabbalah don't have to go to the labor first. No, you have to attempt to go to the labor first. Now, this is sort of a shura that we don't find in Arabs generally, although the Ramah does say you can have an Arab son and you can make it deny. I have the right to claim to you first. So it's sort of a modern invention, probably also related to the fact that we don't have shuls nowadays. So that's the and the understanding is that when you sign that piece of paper and the Arab Kabbalah, you know, or that's what it means, that's accepted, that is the translation of those words. The explanation of that phrase means, ani orav kablan means I'm undertaking to pay you back as if I was a kablan, provided that you chased the loiva two or three times first. And if you wrote that clearly, then avada would be chal. Or rather, if you write and specify, I undertake to pay you back once you chase the loiva and you've failed to claim from him, you'd be chayev. And that's how we treat and explain that. But the only problem is, well, that is, and I'll finish off. We have that time to even examine the other two questions. But the finish off with that is,
what's the time limit? No time limit. What was
I
saying now?
Oh, 1 minute. So this is the Sophic. Nowadays, it's a Peshora. It's a Peshora in between Arab Kabbalah and Arab Stam, somewhere in between. We've got a route in between, a medium route. Is the Peshat? I give two options. Option A, really, he's an Arab Stam. But he's made the condition that even though in Arab Islam normally you have to exhaust all possibilities before you come to me, here, I agree that you come to me before you exhaust all possibilities. But I'm an Arab Islam. Really, you should have to exhaust all possibilities. But I agree to be mechayev myself beyond the strict letter of the law. Option number one. Option number two, really, I'm an Arab Kabbalah and you should be able to come to me straight away without any other question asked. But you agree that you'll first go and try and get the claim from the loiva a couple of times, and if that fails, then you revert to being Arav Kablan. What's the difference? The difference will be someone who signed his gemach paper and the Arav Kablan, and the loiva didn't pay back on time, and the mother waited and waited and waited. Says the Chacham, see, well, it depends. If you're an Arav Stam, then you can say, listen here, there's a limited time I was obligated. The time's up, you waited and waited and waited, I'm no longer chayev. If you're an Arab Kablan, says the Chacham, see, you're like the loiva. It doesn't make a difference how long you waited for. You'll still be chayev. So the nafka minna on how to interpret this term that we now have, and the Arab Kablan, which is somewhere in between Arab and Arab Kablan, will be a nafka minna for this case, where you waited and waited and waited, and you didn't claim for the loiva, and now you want to claim from the Arab. And Kaponim, this case is one of a few I wanted to present, which illustrates the potential pitfalls and problems of undertaking Arabs for the Malva, for the Loiva, the Mephoshim, the Balei Jush, the debate. Kol Yisrael Arim Zelozeh. Kol Yisrael Arim Zelozeh. Are they an Arab Stam or are they Arab Kablan? And they say, B'Shem Reb Chaim, that the fact that I can be most of you, your Chiyu, is because I'm obligated. I've been yoyed to you. I already made Kiddush. I already heard Kiddush Shofar. How can I be moitzi you? Someone who's not mechuyev b'dava can't be moitzi. The fact that I'm an Arav is ki'ilu am mechuyev. Your chiyev is ki'ilu, it's my chiyev, and therefore I have to worry about it's ki'ilu am mechuyev. I still have a chiyev, therefore I can moitzi you. It's a rakhoi tzorim zelazah Arav kablonim. Rabbanim shalim should help. We should all be zoicha to help each other, to be zoicha, to see B.S. God says, Mehavi Yomeinu. Amen.
Right. The bottom line is that they don't have to fail.